Good morning, everybody. Real joy to be with you. It's amazing to be back here in the Longcroft itself after so many weeks. And it's just been such a joy. You wouldn't believe how difficult it is not to sing. I mean, while we've been away, we've been singing at home, and we've enjoyed that. But then to be back with the musicians, and Mark and Helen do such a great job, and to let your heart rise and not be able to sing. Oh dear. But anyway, we've enjoyed it. I wanted just to add one notice about next Sunday, and that is that will be the day that we'll be starting up the children's work as well. So the children and young people will be back here in their various classes, maybe slight adjustments and in differing rooms or whatever, but the leaders will be working that out. But the children and young people will be commencing with us here next Sunday. So it's like a two-stage process of induction and working out how it's all going to be as we go forward. What a joy as well this morning to hear from Sonam and Barbara. So wonderful to have this living connection with them. That will really help us, I'm sure, in being able to pray for them more intelligently and more consistently, because we realize just how much they need that, as of course we all do. Now, I just have three words that I want to leave with you this morning. I've been thinking about the story in the book of Acts where the Lord arrested the Apostle Paul. And then, of course, he was called Saul, Saul of Tarsus, the arch enemy of the Christian church at that time. Terribly destructive in his relationship with the people of God. And yet, amazingly, the Lord intervened in his life, didn't he? And out of nowhere, he became the Lord's, one of the Lord's most important servants. And from that story, which you can read perhaps after the service in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, or chapter 26, when he's giving his testimony before King Agrippa, he uses three words, and I just want to refer to those this morning. Remember that when he was on his way, there came a bright light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun, the scripture says, and he fell to the ground, and so did the people that were with him. And then in both accounts, in chapter 9, the historical account, chapter 26, the testimony account, it says this: he heard a voice. He heard a voice. And of course it was the voice of the risen Jesus Christ. And it was that voice that broke into him as he traveled on his journey and turned his whole life around. The voice that he heard was personal to him. It carried his name with it. It was Saul. Saul. And there was a question related to it. Why are you persecuting me? Not the church. Me, the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then, of course, there were two questions that Paul had to give to Jesus. Who are you, Lord? And what will you have me do? I think those are two good questions that we can all look into our lives and hear the Lord speak. Who are you, Lord? We need a revelation of who he is, don't we? And what should I do? What must I do? So here's the first word that I want you to remember. It's the word voice. He heard a voice. And right through scripture, people have heard the voice of God, haven't they? Back in the Garden of Eden, you remember when Adam and Eve had sinned? They heard a voice. And it was the Lord calling to them. In their sinful state, in their rebellion, and in their turning from him, and in the brokenheartedness of God that must have come as a result of that sin, nonetheless, he was calling for them. In tenderness and in mercy, I believe, reaching out to them. He heard them. What are you doing here, Adam? You may remember that it was in the time of the kings We can read in 1 Kings 19 the story of the prophets, the change between the kingship and the prophets and the man Elijah. You may remember that he was also in a place where he really shouldn't have been. And the voice came to him. That form of the voice then wasn't a great thunderous voice like perhaps it might have been for Paul. It was a still, small voice that he heard. Or you could think perhaps of the Song of Songs, where several times we read about the voice of the lover, the allure, the drawing of the lover, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ drawing out, or the God the Father and God the Holy Spirit drawing out from the hearts of his people, in drawing them into a relationship of love. You may have your mind cast back to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, where he heard a voice. He heard the voice of God, the triune God, speaking to one another. Who shall we send? Who will go for us? What an amazing voice to hear. A voice of commissioning, a voice of call. A voice that set another man on track to the call of God in his life. You may have heard what Roger referred to right at the very beginning about the voice of the shepherd. I wonder if we've all heard sometime in our lives the voice of the shepherd calling to us, guiding us, leading us. And very often that call isn't a loud call, is it? It's just a quiet awareness that we have in our hearts that God is leading us and drawing us on and providing for us, leading us into green pastures and taking us beside still waters. Or perhaps you're thinking of the time when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who had died. And do you remember he was taken to the grave there, where there was a stone in front, and he was sealed there, and he'd been there several days. And Jesus went to that graveyard, to that stone, to that place where Lazarus was buried. And it says, with a loud voice, he called his name. The voice of resurrection, the voice of power, the voice that brought Lazarus out of the tomb and brought him into new life. Or perhaps we could think of perhaps almost the very last voice that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 23, when he said in the voice of final victory, finished! I finished the work that you gave me to do. And he called out, even in the midst of his suffering and in his dying, the final voice of victory. Finished. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we have. How wonderful to be able to hear the voice of God. And you remember that it was John in the Revelation that when he described what he saw, the voice that spoke to him, that caused him to fall at his feet as one dead. He said he had a voice like the voice of many waters. How beautiful is that? How powerful is that? How resplendent is that? May I ask you this morning, have you heard the voice of God? Are you still hearing the voice of Jesus as you relate to him and walk with him day by day? Second word that I want to leave with you is this. You remember that when he was sent, that is Paul, to the house in the street called Straight, God sent Ananias to him. And Ananias was very concerned about how clever that was and what a good idea it was or not, because he was aware of who Saul was. But God said to him, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. That's the second word that I want to just leave with you. Vessel. Each of us are vessels filled with the life and presence of Jesus Christ if we belong to him. And Paul, in his testimony before Agrippa, said, that he was the chosen vessel to bear the name of Jesus. That is, to carry and to show forth the name and the character and the personality and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us as believers in him have that great privilege that we can be those who carry Christ with us wherever we go. And what a great promise that is for our young people as they step out into a new sphere of activity and of education, and but much more broad than that, the opportunities that will be afforded to them as they move into young adult life, that they can go into university confident that they can bear and carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Doesn't matter who we are, what sort of kind of personalities we have, what gifts we have. It's who we are and the fact that we carry with us, upon us, within us, the very life and spirit of God. That's my prayer for Annabelle and Chloe and Joe and Esther and all the people that are changing in life events in these days, that they all may carry Christ wherever they go. And very lastly, Paul, when he talks before Agrippa, he says, King Agrippa, all these things happened to me, he says, but I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's my third word, if you haven't been quite following too clearly. Voice, vessel, vision. And all of us, when we come to Jesus Christ, are given some vision, some work, something that he wants us to do, something that he wants us to engage in the purposes of God. We're privileged to be those who carry him in our lives. And as we live out the things that God is leading us to, we must learn to be obedient to that vision. To the things that God has brought before us, let us faithfully work them out. And we can then be a blessing to all the people with whom we have to do. My time is gone. Thank you for the opportunity just of sharing these things. Wonderful again to look around this old building and see its rooms and to realize that we're in a process of transition. Back, we hope, into a fuller expression of life together here. But that there are other things that the Lord wants for us. May we hear his voice. May we continue to bear his name. And may the Lord make us faithful in outworking the vision that is given to each and every one of us. Amen.